So a couple months ago, I preached a sermon wearing two different baseball jerseys. That was so much fun, I thought, I have to preach wearing a Jeremy Lin jersey one of these days. I just love this shirt. I love it because it's New York, you know, the place where he had the breakout. I don't want a Jeremy Lin Lakers shirt or Houston shirt, whatever. I wanted a New York Jeremy Lin shirt, and so I'm wearing it today. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much that you are real, that you're in our lives, and that you give us what we need to persevere. Lord God, I just ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage any hearts here that are faint, that you'd give us the strength and passion we need to push forward as we follow you. In your name we pray. Amen. So last spring, as many of you know, we had a movie night and we watched Linsanity here at church. This film chronicles the rise of Jeremy Lin from a relatively unknown basketball player to a starter for the New York Knicks. You don't need to be a basketball fan to like this movie because it's about endurance. It's about refusing to give up, about maintaining faith that God is at work, even in the setbacks of life. At one point in this film, Jeremy Lin says, "If I learn a lot, if I grow through the tough times, that is part of God's perfect plan." Jeremy Lin understands the importance of perseverance, of never giving up. So this is what he looks like. In case you don't know who Jeremy Lin is, right? We'll go on to the next one. All right. During the last few months, we've been learning about how God is leading us as a church on a journey toward a specific goal that's marked by four things. It's marked by unity of the faith, unity springing from our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, maturity, and the fullness of Christ. Often, though, on long journeys, we wish that we've already arrived. We can't wait to get there. Dad, are we there yet? Many of you have asked that question. We want the trip to be over. Much of this journey, though, that we are on as a church involves a slow process of painful growth, of spiritual transformation, a process by which we become more and more like Jesus Christ. It's a surgery on our souls in which we begin to experience the righteousness of Christ living out in us and through us. This process of becoming the people that God is calling us to be, both as a church and as individuals, requires stamina. It requires grit that enables us to keep pressing on, even when the road is hard. We need perseverance. And so today we turn to a passage in which Paul motivates us to persevere by telling us three things. First, he says, be inspired. Second, remember the prize. And third, leave it all on the track. First, we need inspiration. The example of others who have persevered in the face of great difficulties and yet have succeeded. Paul uses the example of athletes to motivate and inspire his readers. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Every other year, the city of Corinth would host the Isthmian Games, which back then in the ancient world were almost as famous as the Olympics. Paul's readers in Corinth regularly experienced the excitement, the energy of watching important athletic contests, and they all knew how inspiring it was to see a champion runner run and get the prize. And so Paul draws upon this familiar imagery that every one of his readers were familiar with. And he tells them to remember. Remember what that champion athlete looked like. Remember how determined, how intense, how focused they were when they gathered at that starting line. Remember how they burst off that starting line. How they ran with intensity and passion and swiftness and determination, with every muscle straining forward toward that finish line. Remember how they ignored the distractions of the crowd screaming around them, shouting their names, eating food. They ignored the clowns in the stands, entertainment. They focused ahead, straining forward. Remember those champion runners. Remember how they ran and be inspired. Because that is how you must run the Christian life. The writer of the book of Hebrews draws upon a similar image. He reminds his readers of the great servants of God who've gone before, who endured difficulties and setbacks in their lives. And he writes, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, these people who have gone before, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." He's saying, let us run with perseverance the race that God has chosen for us. God has chosen your life situation right now, the race you are in. He has chosen that for you. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, run. Live your life with perseverance. Don't give up. We must keep going. We must endure, press on, fight through the roadblocks and difficulties we encounter. We must keep going, even when it feels like it would be much easier to give up, even when it feels like we don't have strength to continue. We must keep putting one foot in front of the other in a straight line, remembering that the one who called us, the one who put this race in front of us, is the one who works in all things for the good of those who love him. It's the one who brings glory, honor, and praise to Jesus Christ when we obey him and when we obediently follow him. Hebrews 12 goes on to say, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As you run, Scripture tells us, be inspired by Jesus Christ, who is our great champion, who already ran the race we are in. He ran it before us, and we follow in his footsteps. Remember how he persevered, how he didn't give up through the horrible suffering he faced on the cross. Let this inspire us to persevere through the suffering we might now be facing. I recently found an article by ESPN about young Chinese-American basketball players who draw inspiration from Jeremy Lin. And here's a picture of some of them in Chinatown in Boston. Lin's relentless perseverance through challenge after challenge inspires them to believe that they can succeed if only they do not give up. If only they keep giving their best effort and keep struggling on. One of the young players interviewed is named Greg, and he says this about Jeremy Lin. I love his fearlessness. He saw this moment as his last chance. He's playing his own game. I like that. You see, Greg takes inspiration from Jeremy Lin, and then he applies it to his own life, and he says this. He told the reporter, "I just feel like I'm talented enough that maybe I could play overseas. Seeing Jeremy Lin succeed really inspires me to want to give basketball another shot. I see him doing what he's doing, and I think, why can't I? Why can't I?" You see, Jeremy Lin was first inspired to persevere through his trials, and now he's inspiring others to persevere through their trials. And in the same way, as we receive inspiration that enables us to endure, to persevere, to push through the difficulties we face, our lives will someday inspire others. Perhaps in surprising, unexpected ways. So first, be inspired. Second, Paul tells us, remember the prize. And I'd like everyone to just put away your phones right now, that if you have them out, let's focus for just a few moments on the Word of God. Because this is a time where God speaks to us through His Word. It's an important time that's valuable to us. Second, Paul tells us, remember the prize. He says that everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. You see, the athletes in Corinth, they would work so hard. They would give everything they had in competition in these games to receive a crown of interwoven laurel leaves. They were simply leaves from a bush that would quickly rot and fade and turn into dust. And yet they would pour themselves out to get this because it was a symbol of great honor and prestige in ancient Greek society. How much more, Paul says, should we throw every ounce of our strength and determination into winning a prize that will last forever? How much more should we embrace the strict training that we need in order to run the race that God has set before us, so that we may someday receive the eternal blessings that God offers to us? Remember the prize set before you, and let the prize motivate you. Let it motivate your strict training, your discipline, your sacrifice. When I was 12 years old, my parents took me, my sister, and my brother on the trip of a lifetime. This is the very car that we traveled in. I think it's like a 1978 Oldsmobile. It's really an amazing car. Up to this point in my life, I'd only been to 3 states. I was so excited then when we set out on a month-long journey from Minnesota all the way down to Florida, camping along the way. And our journey was full of so many adventures, exciting experiences that just thrilled me as a young Tolkien fan who had read The Hobbit and was into adventure. I mean, we were stranded at one point on the side of a mountain in the storm at night. We were rescued at one point by a mysterious hillbilly. At another point, our camper was overrun by these evil creatures, commonly called ants. And it was just this amazing adventure and experience. Finally, we make it all the way to, not to the Lonely Mountain, but to Disney World. And we spend 5 amazing days going to Disney World, the MGM Studios, the Epcot Center. And after our time at these amusement parks, my brother Andrew, rightly, he was pretty smart. He's 5 years old, but he realizes that this trip is not going to get any better than this. And so he said, asked my parents, "Can we go home now? Can we go home now?" From Minnesota, drove all the way down to Florida. So with a twinkle in their eye, my parents say, "Yes, Andrew, we can go home now. From Florida all the way up the East Coast, stopping at Myrtle Beach, Washington, D.C., New York City, then over into Canada, north of the Great Lakes, all the way down back into Minnesota, back to our home in Minneapolis. But you know, through the entire second phase of this amazing adventure, my brother was a good sport. Because he realized that no matter how long the road, no matter how many apparent detours, our path was leading us home. He remembered the prize, and that helped him endure the road. Finally, Paul tells us, leave it all on the track. You sometimes hear a coach telling a basketball team to leave it all on the court, or a soccer team to leave it all on the field. It's a way of reminding them to give everything they have, every ounce of strength and willpower in their effort, in their determination to win the game. Likewise, in this race that we are in as Christians, we must leave it all on the track. We must give every ounce of strength we have to completing the race that's before us. To emphasize this idea, Paul begins to mix the metaphors by adding to the picture of a champion runner the picture of a boxer who's in a fight. And I think that Paul is doing this because he's trying to communicate to us that this race we are in, this race that demands every ounce of energy we have to persevere, it feels like a fight. But it's not a fight against other people. According to our passage for today, 1 Corinthians 9, it's a fight against ourselves. Paul tells us, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. The boxers in Paul's day would strike each other with fists covered in leather. The enemy, though, that Paul is fighting is his own body, his sinful flesh, which is the opponent who distracts him from running the race that God has set before him. Our sinful flesh threatens to trip us. It threatens to prevent us from completing the race. And so Paul beats his body and he makes it his slave. In other words, he experiences the painful process of being brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of his life so that he can finish the race and receive the prize. This requires strict discipline and training. In recent weeks, we've been spending a lot of time talking about sanctification, the process by which God transforms us and makes us like Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We learned that this process involves the surrender of every area of our life to Christ so that He can transform us. Our passage for today reminds us of just how difficult, how painful this process can be. Our struggle against our sinful flesh often feels like a fight that requires every ounce of strength, determination, and perseverance that we have. As we run this race, we must leave it all on the track. Now, some of you may be thinking, this sounds a bit medieval. Am I advocating some sort of self-punishment? After all, in the Middle Ages, some Christians practiced whipping themselves as a way to punish their sinful flesh. Now, that is not what I'm talking about, okay? Remember, Paul is using athletic imagery. And so it's important to keep that in mind. Think, for example, of the CrossFit extreme fitness program. Okay, it's more like CrossFit, where you know you're involved in high numbers of reps, doing things like flipping huge, heavy tractor tires, swinging kettlebells high in the air, running, doing squats, jumping, various other activities until you feel like you're about to die, right? And actually, some people do die doing CrossFit extreme fitness workouts because it's just so intense. Paul is talking about an extreme fitness program for the soul that is not about glorifying pain. Okay, it's not about glorifying pain. It's about achieving a goal, even when incredible pain is involved. In other words, our goal is not pain and suffering. We have a different goal, becoming like Christ, following Him faithfully, obeying Him every day of our lives, and that is a race that involves pain. We keep going. We persevere, even when we feel like quitting, even when we feel like taking an easier, less painful path. Paul describes his extreme workout program in Philippians 3, 13 through 14. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining every muscle toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul calls us to follow his example by leaving it all on the track. About a year ago, I was into watching these documentaries on training soldiers for special forces units in the military. Bonnie's brother had given us this amazing Christmas gift of a flat screen TV. I discovered that through that I could watch these documentaries. So I'm watching these soldiers going through these selection processes for the special forces. And you know what? Endurance testing is always a major component of these selection processes. And the vast majority of candidates, seasoned soldiers, fail and are weeded out. And as you watch them go through this selection process, they're running, they're climbing, they're hiking, they're crawling through cold mud for hour after hour, you notice that the soldiers that succeed look no more healthy, they look no more strong than the soldiers who drop out. The difference is not one of muscle mass or athleticism. The difference is perseverance. Those who succeed are those who persevere the longest. You see, the military does these tests on purpose to teach perseverance to its most trusted soldiers so that when they are in combat, when they face challenges that seem impossible, they will never give up. They will persevere. In the same way, God often allows hardship to enter our lives to teach us to persevere. Hebrews 12:7 tells us, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons and daughters. Sons and daughters of God. That's wonderful. But he treats us like his beloved children by making our lives hard, by teaching us to endure. You see, God is much more interested in making us strong than making us comfortable. He wants us to become part of His special forces, people that He has trained in perseverance, who He can trust to never, ever give up, even in the face of impossible challenges. For this reason, James tells us, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. How can we become seasoned and strong followers of Christ who persevere no matter how painful and difficult our path may be? First, be inspired. Second, remember the prize. And third, leave it all on the track. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you that you don't just call us to perseverance, you model it. And the way you showed us what perseverance is by going to the cross in our place. Jesus, we thank you that you didn't give up as you suffered, that you persevered to the end, which opened the door for us to enter a relationship with God. And we just ask that you would give us the gift of perseverance in this journey that we are on as a church to become a healthy church, to become the people of God that you are calling us to be. Let us never give up. Let us always push through. Let us become like you, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.